It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Few state agencies affect the daily lives of Wisconsinites like the Department of Transportation. And with rising fuel costs in Wisconsin and around the nation, the work of this area of government is front and center.
With a biennial budget of $8 billion, the department oversees bike trails, major and minor highways, and train transit in Wisconsin. And the department recently announced more than $135 million in grants to support hundreds of local road projects over the next 4 years.
To understand what the state DOT is doing to make transit smoother, we have Secretary Christina Boardman. We spoke last week, and I start by asking her about what she sees as the biggest transportation challenges facing our state.
Well, we have several. I would say that we have made a ton of progress in the last several years. We've really put a priority on getting, you know, money out to our local communities so that they can repair the roads. We have a number of major projects that are going on. Funding is a problem, both at the state level and the national level. We all know that gas tax cars are becoming more fuel efficient, which is fantastic, but that does mean that there is a lower revenue rate coming in to the fund, and there's been a lot of inflation. So I think looking forward, the funding of transportation is one of my primary concerns. But of the funding that we have, I think people can rest assured we are making the very best use of that and getting it out there where it's most needed.
Wisconsin is seeing that big jump in gas prices. We all see it, nearly 45 cents recently, one of the largest increases in the country, according to Gas Buddy. And this isn't something that the state DOT has control over, but are there things that your agency can do to help drivers conserve in these times?
Thanks for bringing up the gas tax. Yes, gas taxes are very high. I can tell you our gas tax in Wisconsin is a lot lower than our surrounding states. The things that we are doing is we know that people are making changes in the way they drive, and we want to be there to provide that mode of transportation. So whether it's transit, other passenger rail, we are doing that. Also, most importantly, if people are making the switch to electric vehicles, we are making sure that there are charging stations throughout the state so that people don't have that range anxiety. We have 21 stations that we have already opened with our federal dollars, and we have 57 more that have been awarded that are in various stages of approval and construction.
We're going to talk about EVs more in just a moment, but getting back to the state currently taxing gas at almost 31 cents a gallon, should Wisconsin be considering a gas tax holiday if fuel prices keep climbing?
I know that some other states have looked at that. I would say going back to the health of the transportation fund, we assume a certain level of gas tax revenue. And I understand that gas taxes are high, but we have taken a lot of funding from the general fund to pay the fees that we are for the projects that we have underway. So I do get a little nervous about further reducing the sustainable revenue coming to the fund. But that would be up to the legislature to make a change like that.
Well, let's turn now to electric vehicles, which do offer a viable alternative to gas vehicles. But there has been a lack of public charging station that does remain a concern. The Trump administration attempted to cut previously approved funding for these. What is the department doing to increase public charging stations?
Well, I'm proud to say that we were one of 22 states that did not lose any of our funding for these for the electric vehicle infrastructure. And so we are moving ahead with everything that's been planned. So we received about $78.6 million under that federal program. We have made awards for 78 total stations. 21 of them are already open. We still are going to have several million left over to put out once we complete this alternative fuel corridor to kind of be off that network and put them in additional spots as well. So From what has been awarded, I can assure people that 78 will be online, and we are making plans for a fully built-out corridor that gets the rest of that funding throughout the state. So we are making a lot of progress there. This is just the ones that are federally funded. This does not, you know, there are a lot more other stations that are out there that have been privately installed. So I think Wisconsin has seen significant moves forward on that. A lot of the stations that are open are in the northern part of the state, and they really needed them. But as people think about that interstate system, they should feel confident that wherever they're driving, there will be or there may already be stations for them.
I was going to ask you about the North Woods and those charging stations, how this corridor might look in the northern part of the state.
Yes, so we have several that have already opened in that area. So we have ones that are open in Rhinelander, Crandon, Ashland. So we have really targeted those areas that we knew was kind of a desert for electric vehicle charging, and we are getting got a lot of positive feedback on that, and several people have put forward proposals to do that. So if you go on to the DOT website and you type in information about our electric vehicle program, we do have an interactive map that's available. You can do it by region. You can look at it. You can see what stage, where everything is planned and at what stage they are. If they're green, they're up and operational right now, but you can also see the ones that have been awarded that are in various stages of construction. So I think people will see that the state is really blanketed on that interstate corridor, so they can feel confident if they're making those decisions about buying in the future that there will be spots really wherever they want to travel.
I know you keep an eye on vehicle registrations, and I'm curious, are EV registrations rising in Wisconsin? Are they leveling off? What do you see in EV numbers?
They are definitely growing. We have about 40,000 registered vehicles, EV vehicles in Wisconsin. That continues to tick up. I really do think it's kind of that chicken and egg. You know, are people going to buy the cars knowing that the chargers will follow, or do they really want to see those chargers out there? A lot of people have chargers installed in their home and they feel good about that for their daily driving habits. We do continue to see that number tick up. It is by far not a majority of the vehicles on the road, but yeah, we're sitting at about 40,000 registrations right now.
What does that mean for the transportation budget? Because these vehicles aren't filling up with gas.
True. I am an electric vehicle owner. We do have other fees. So when we register our car every year, there is a $175 extra fee that's put on top of that. If you're charging at some of these public charging stations around the state, there is a minor tax on that is going to the transportation fund. So I think that they are finding ways to target these vehicles because it really is a user tax. You're using the system, and we want to make sure that that is equitable across all modes.
We're talking with Christina Boardman, Secretary of Wisconsin's Department of Transportation, as we discuss the pressing issues of transportation in the state. Let's turn to Interstate 794. Interstate highways remade most of American cities. Your department recently completed a study of what to do with this aging I-794 in Milwaukee, a major commuter route. What options are on the table?
Yeah, thanks for asking about that project. We are continuing down the path of studying this corridor and what we need to do. This is a very aged corridor. We have a lot of bridges in that area that need some attention. Right now, the situation is, and we had a couple of public information meetings just this week and last week to continue the process of getting public feedback. Right now, we have a few different solutions. Always, as part of our studies, we say, you know, if we don't do anything, that we call that the no-build option, what does that mean? That really is not the answer because we know that this infrastructure needs repair. We also look at replace in kind, so basically rebuilding exactly what is there. What is the price for that? What does that do to the traffic volumes, et cetera, that we're seeing? And then we have freeway removal. What if we take that down completely? We focus on the local street corridors. What does that do for commuter traffic? What does it do for daily traffic just in that area? What does it do for pedestrian movement? So we've talked about that. And then we have another couple plans that we consider a freeway improvement. So it is looking at the existing freeway that we have there. Can we skinny that up a little bit, improve the curves, improve the engineering, make sure that infrastructure is safe, and also maybe carve out some additional space that we can open up for development in the future locally. So those are the options. We call it replacing kind, the freeway removal, and then freeway improvement. So we're continuing to gather the public's comments on that. We've done a lot of studies in terms of traffic forecasting, what that would do to the marketability of other property that's maybe made available to activate downtown. And we are continuing forward on that process. Hopefully by the end of the year, we will have a preferred alternative. But again, this is a very long and complicated process, and we want to make sure that the public has all of the facts and that we can hear from them on what their preferred alternative might be.
In the removal category, some community advocates want to see the highway removed and connect neighborhoods and increase economic development. How complicated would this be to remove it?
It is a significant improvement. Other cities have done this to try and remove any of those barriers from neighborhood to neighborhood. Some of the concerns that have come out are how pedestrians are going to continue to move around that area if there is that much vehicle traffic moving through that corridor. So for what are the safety conditions going to look like? What does this do to traffic? The system linkages. We've got bridges going through that area. What is the backup? What does this look like on a daily basis for the commuter? And we're looking at that with all of the options, but it does present the cars still need to move through that area. And there are some concerns that we are seeing with the data that's being collected in safety of pedestrian movement and just daily backups that people would have that are moving through that area.
So is the state seriously considering removal?
It is too soon in the process. So we really are going through this, again, giving the public all of the information, and we are narrowing it down. I mean, it started with like 8 options, and now we're down to 4 with replacing kind freeway removal and then a couple different flavors of the freeway improvement. So we just want to continue forward gathering that. This is all part of the federally required process of getting to the solution that's the best for the state and the best for that community.
Let's move on to passenger rail. For years, there's been this appetite to revive and to expand passenger rail in Wisconsin, you know, with hopes of connecting Madison and Milwaukee to Green Bay and beyond that. What is the biggest obstacle to make this happen?
Well, we have a number of things that are going on right now. They're called corridor ID studies, corridor identification and development program. And so we did get some funding from the federal government to move these forward, to do some fact-finding feasibility studies, basically, of expanding passenger rail in Wisconsin. We just fairly recently opened up that Borealis that goes from Chicago to Milwaukee all the way up to the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. And there are additional studies there to have that same rail line stop in Madison, stop in Eau Claire. We also are looking at extending things up to Green Bay. So we have these projects that are going on. We are continuing that scoping process, getting some preliminary work so that we can put that forward to the federal government in hopes of getting additional funding to continue down that process. I would say for right now, Madison has been doing a lot of work to kind of fast track the work on that corridor ID study. They've put some of their own funding into moving that forward. So that is a little further ahead than some of the others. It does need some upgrade to the rail line between Milwaukee and Madison. And that is something that we're continuing to work with our rail providers on. So things are moving. It's not lightning fast, but it is a very deliberate process in making sure that we have all the facts and that we can identify those federal funds. At the state level, we did not get the level of state funding for passenger rail that we would have liked, but we're continuing forward with what we have and keeping all of those rail lines that are active right now, keeping that operational. The Hiawatha between Milwaukee and Chicago continues to be very popular, and making sure that we have, you know, we're keeping that going. We'd love to get that up to 10 times a day. We're getting some new rail cars going to be delivered in Wisconsin in the near future, so that will expand some of that capacity as well. So those are the few things going on there. We have some other rail project, Muskego Yards. We are going to be updating that in the Milwaukee area. We got a significant grant to do that. And that will help make sure that if we have that passenger rail and we want to make sure we're facilitating freight rail movement, that is we can make sure that passengers in that area are safe, mm-hmm. and also people on the sidewalks, the pedestrians in the Milwaukee area are not negatively impacted by that either.
A couple times in this conversation, you have mentioned pedestrian safety, and Milwaukee set a goal in recent years to reduce the number of traffic deaths to zero by 2037 through the Vision Zero program. Are there ways your department is helping communities, whether it's Milwaukee or another community, meet some really challenging goals like this in traffic deaths?
Absolutely. The goal should always be zero. And so we do work directly with cities on some of, there's a few projects that I'm, you know, have personally communicated to the city of Milwaukee about that are priorities for them. They are outdated intersections. Pedestrians don't have a great way to move through there. And we have a lot, you know, might be a school there or a library. So we know there's a lot of pedestrian movement. So we have been working hand in hand to identify shorter term changes that we can make to that intersection to offer some improvements. And then longer term, as we come through with a reconstruction, how can we maybe remake that intersection to be what it needs to be, with protected areas for pedestrians to walk. Maybe it's bringing the speed limit down in that area. So there's a number of efforts going on. We follow the safe systems approach. We prioritize pedestrian safety. And so we are talking about it a lot. I'm very proud to say that our deaths have been down. Again, it's not zero. So we are absolutely full steam ahead and working on it. But I am pleased to say that we have seen things moving in the right direction. At this point today, we're about 40 deaths behind where we were at this point last year. And last year, we were already down a significant percentage over the five-year average. So things definitely spiked during the pandemic, but we are finally seeing those numbers come down, which is very helpful, but lots more work to do.
So trending in the right direction. You know,
absolutely.
All of these efforts require money. And recently, your department announced it had awarded over $135 million in grants to local governments as part of the Local Roads Improvement Program. What can you tell us about, you know, what criteria do you use to select these grants?
Yeah, so we work with local, we have a committee that comes together to look at that, whether it's deteriorating county highways, town roads, and then city and village streets. And then we've just put out these grants for $135 million. About $108 will be on county roads, $136 are on town roads, and then $58 or so are on the city and villages, so municipal streets. This is a reimbursement program, so they go ahead with that project, and then we reimburse it that after the fact. This administration has put a lot more funding into these local road programs, and so we have seen a lot of improvements at the local level. So whether it's the Local Road Improvement Program, we also have an agricultural road improvement program for sort of that last mile, making sure our farmers have adequate roads to move their goods to market, et cetera. So this has been a very popular program. We did get an additional $100 million in supplemental funds in this last biennial budget, and we are usually oversubscribed, but we have a very cooperative group that comes together that ranks these applications and gets that money out so people will see those improvements within the next 4 years.
Secretary Boardman, thank you for joining us.
Of course. Thank you.
Christina Boardman was appointed Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation in 2024. We've been talking about the latest road projects, gas prices, and her vision for transportation in Wisconsin.